In the blink of an eye, the nature of work in America changed, courtesy of the car service Uber. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. There's news that Uber has, for now, won a pair of fights in its longer battle to make sure its drivers are not employees. It agreed to settlements in two states, meaning that Uber drivers can remain independent contractors in at least California and Massachusetts, Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
Uber agreed to pay $100 million to settle the cases. It'll be spread out over almost 400,000 drivers. Uber also said it hasn't always done a good job working with the drivers. So which side won?
Well, it was a tie so far.
Harry Holzer teaches public policy at Georgetown University.
Either side wanted to run the risk of going to trial, so they settled on something that gave the workers something.
Something more than the cash, too. Uber's no longer able to cut off a driver's right to work as it had in the past. And they're setting up drivers' associations that will meet with the company quarterly. Arun Sundararajan is a business professor at NYU. He says this is just the beginning of the conversation.
There's a growing fraction of the workforce that is really important to the economy, but do not fit into these boxes of full-time employment. And we really have to figure out a way to fund the social safety net for them.
That social safety net he's talking about are things like minimum wage, health insurance, and social security. Right now, Uber doesn't have to worry about any of those. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
At a time the guardians of interest rates at the Federal Reserve in Washington are thinking of raising the cost of borrowing a bit this year, in Europe and Japan, it is a different world. On Friday, we'd like to check in with Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. He's on the line here. Good morning.
Hi, David.
So the week was punctuated by the head of the European Central Bank, Mario Draghi, talking about interest rates lower for longer.
Of course, the problem with that is that most interest rates are determined in the markets. And when traders heard lower longer, they translated that into growth will be higher. That means inflation will be higher. That means there's a risk to holding bonds. They start selling. Interest rates actually rose. Essentially, the market made poor Mario Draghi a liar in about 10 minutes.
Now, they're trying that in Japan right now. There's talk of making negative interest rates more negative still in the coming days. And of course, look at this dollar. The dollar's been going up against the Japanese yen.
It's quite possible they've just taken the whole thing a little bit too far. Now there are more negative interest rates in Japan than there are in Germany, and that is starting to hurt the economy as well as help. For example, the Nikkei Life Insurance Company, they're going to have to cut the expected returns on policies and therefore raise policy rates in order to remain solvent. And yet, next week, Bank of Japan meeting, and economists think they're probably going to cut interest rates to an even lower negative level.
All right, the flip side of continued low interest rates. Christopher Lowe at FTN Financial, thank you for this.
You're welcome, David.
Cleveland and Philadelphia are hoping for economic windfalls from this summer's political conventions. First of all, they're going to be interesting, right? Well, Cleveland has the Republicans, Philadelphia the Dems, and the conventional wisdom is these events boost local economies. But what does the research tell us? Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
I met Craig Adams in downtown Cleveland. I was asking people if the benefits would outweigh the costs of the GOP convention. Adams got my attention because he was wearing a bright green hoodie and an easy smile. His answer?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Adams owns a local flooring company. It's a great time to be in construction in Cleveland because the downtown is undergoing a major facelift for the convention. Adams says this year he'll gross
at least $500,000 more than we did last year. But these are big jobs, like we're doing the Drury Hotel.
Adams points across the street at Cleveland's old Board of Education building, which he's helping turn into the hotel. William Monick teaches finance at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland. He ticks off the benefits of a convention: free spending delegates, improvements to the city's infrastructure, national exposure. And he says the convention will put Clevelanders in a good mood.
You know, when good things are happening around you, you feel more confident about the future. When you're more confident about the future, you're willing to spend more today rather than dig a hole and hide it.
In the other corner, Victor Matheson. He teaches economics at the College of the Holy Cross in Worcester, Massachusetts. He says there's no guarantee of those intangible benefits.
remember, all of these are predicated on everything going well. And boy, these conventions sure look contentious, at least at this point.
Matheson says those infrastructure improvements were just sped up and would have been done anyway. He says, yes, the host cities will get a bump up from the delegate spending, but many locals will stay home during the conventions. Their spending will fall. And Matheson says lots of convention dollars go to big corporations like hotels.
That ends up in the shareholders' pockets back at corporate headquarters in New York City.
Back in downtown Cleveland, Craig Adams, the flooring guy, sees both sides. He's thrilled with the extra business he's getting, but he does wonder if all of the new hotels will still be full after the convention. In Cleveland, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
And people in China this morning are still cut off from Apple's online bookstore. The Chinese government's broadcasting ministry ordered the service turned off the other day without explanation. The movie service is also blocked. Apple says it hopes the service resumes, quote, as soon as possible. Analysts believe this is about both keeping limits on ideas imported from abroad, but also protecting competing homegrown digital services in China. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.